Welcome to She Struts Radio, where we give voice to women's stories, longings, pain, deepest heart's desires, and dreams, and support them in being unapologetically vocal, visible, and vulnerable women, happily claiming their place in the world. Now, here's your host, author and speaker, Deborah M. Ricks.
Or not. Hey, good evening, everyone, and welcome to She Struts Radio. Deborah has the night off tonight, and so that means that you are going to be stuck with, no, actually not stuck with, we're going to have a marvelous time with myself, Deletta Gillespie, and the amazing Asia Maxton. How's everybody doing?
I don't know if they can talk, Asia? But I'm sure they're all great.
How are you doing, Asia?
I am good. I'm happy to be here. Just left home from rehearsal. I have a show this weekend. And
awesome.
Coming along, Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And my wonderful, awesome, amazing, fantabulous friends are going to join us tonight, so... I am pretty ecstatic.
That's great. Well, actually, we have somebody already on the line with us, one of our amazing guests, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves.
Hello.
Who that?
Hello there.
You said who that?
Who that? That's Zynga and Rashman.
And Zynga, absolutely.
Hello, friends.
How are you all?
We're doing fine.
So good. I'll tell you what, I'm not going to make you guys introduce yourselves. I am going to read these super long bios that you sent me because the show is an hour, and we have an hour and 28 minutes, so we have time for that.
We sure do. But before that, Asia, I'm going to remind everybody of tonight's topic, and tonight's topic Love You, How to Rock Valentine's Day and Every Day, Partnered or Not. And we're going to get into the highs and the lows of partnership and non-partnership and rocking Valentine's Day or not rocking Valentine's Day and what it really means to love.
Go on and rock Valentine's Day. Go on and rock it.
And what it means to love you. You being the letter U, indicative of the Y-O-U. So we're going to get deep into that, and I think we have all of our guests are with us so far, I think. So anyway, go ahead with the super long introductions, Asia.
No problem. You know what? And I just want to let y'all know, I just lit my incense and my sage.
Uh-oh.
While you were talking. Let me turn the light off. Listen, we're going to set the mood because... We are getting there. All right. So on the phone with us tonight, and Deletta, we have to introduce ourselves too. I forgot about that, but I'm going to go ahead and start with Rashman and Zynga because my mama taught me to always let guests go first.
That's right.
So Rashman Thumpatton, North Carolina native Thumb, is a music and artist branding professional with over 10 years experience. Isn't it funny how you can know somebody for a long time, but then you read their bio and you're like, what? You do branding? Okay, anyway. After finishing undergrad studies in biology at Morehouse College in Atlanta, he decided to cultivate his natural talent as a writer and pursue his dream of making an impact on music history. The journey began with trying his hand at music journalism and freelance copywriting, once certified by the School of Visual Arts in NY. Shortly thereafter, he became associate editor at Rhyme Magazine, get it, where he curated a one-of-a-kind front section that featured the outer reaches of art, design, and technology. Such coverage in music publications is now the norm, but was fairly unheard of over a decade ago. You're calling a pioneer, Rashman. I ain't mad at you. After moving to Los Angeles to be closer to his fiancé and music collaborator, the collective that would eventually give birth to his band, The Milky Way, he founded an online music community and social media examiner called The Good Look. This was a subscription-based service used to engage his fan base and help pay the bills. While managing the community, he created a unique voice and brand position. This work put him on the radar of L.A. startup world and the Silicon Beach tech community. Soon, he found himself using his unique skill set to manage online communities for Fortune 500 clients, Microsoft, Fox, Disney, FX, etc. Later, he became music supervisor and curator for high-tech music company Earbits.com, who are backed by Y Combinator, Charles River Ventures, the founder of WordPress, and other notable investors. Under his Precious Metals Creative Consultancy banner, Sum has helped fellow entrepreneurs launch several successful ventures. He is currently leading brand and strategic partnerships at Stampede Management, managing collaborations between high-profile music talent, the Ronds, Riff-Raff, Far East Movement, etc., and global brands. Beyond being a driven and ambitious businessman, at heart, Sum is a humble artist, true that, happiest when creative. He has fashioned a music career through an insatiable need to create and express himself through music and performance. This constant striving and thirst for reinvention of personal expression has led to several notable accomplishments. Some of these include being nominated for the 2014 Independent Music Awards for Best Album of 2013, regular song placement on high-profile television shows, Breaking Bad, Sons of Anarchy, etc., film and video games, and having his band selected to appear in the 2015 Toyota Camry ad campaign, just to name a few milestones. He has worked with legendary producers as friends, collaborators, and mentors, including the late, great Ike Owens, Mars Volta, Jack White, Needles, Bruno Mars, 50 Cent, and Ira Engberg, Bob Dylan, Captain Beefheart. Sum is Cantonese for heart, and music is indeed his. He is a martial arts, fitness, and holistic health enthusiast who believes in healing through the diet, hello biology degree, an avid popular science fan, potion maker, stargazer, and hopeless romantic. His wife, Nzinga Kadali, is also his bandmate and frequent collaborator while enjoying her own successes as an accomplished filmmaker, television, and screenwriter. We're just going to take a minute and woo-saw about that bio. That was dope.
Well, I made most of it up. It was just an exercise in creative writing mostly, but I'm glad it worked. I never heard it out loud before. It reads pretty good.
Well, my question is, when do you sleep?
You'd be surprised. I make time to do it. I don't get much some days, but, you know, other the days where I pack it in, I make up for lost sleep. Believe that.
That's all wonderful. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We're gonna intro Nzinga as well, and then we'll get into some conversation about what we're here for. Mm-hmm. So Nzinga's bio is not as lengthy, but just as impressive. Nzinga Kadali Kemp began writing for stage and film in the thriving arts community of Atlanta, Georgia, where she earned her BA from Clark Atlanta University. She later received her MFA in dramatic writing from New York University's prestigious Tisch School of the Arts. And Nzinga's work has been showcased in venues nationally, including the Tribeca Performing Arts Center and the National Black Arts Festival. Her debut film, His Her Story, has been featured in over 30 film festivals internationally, including the Toronto Film Festival. Epiphenomenon, a feature screenplay she wrote, was a first-round selection in the Sundance Institute Screenwriting Lab and received honorable mention in the Urban World Screenwriting Competition. Her short play, The Bohemian, was featured in the New York University Tisch Alumni Emerging Television Writers Showcase and has also been produced as a web series. The Bohemian was honored at the 2012 LA Web Fest for Outstanding Lead Actor and Music Composition. Her feature screenplay, In the Meantime, won the 2012 GMC Television Network Faith and Family Screenplay Competition. The film premiered on the Up Network in August 2013 and is in current program rotation. And Nzinga also wrote an episode of The First Family, airing on BET's Centric. She lives in Los Angeles and is a part of a steampunk hip-hop band called The Milky Way.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Welcome, Nzinga. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Glad to be here. And I want to, is Mahogany, has Mahogany joined us yet? Mahogany, are you there?
I think she's still in rehearsal. I left her still working, and she said she'd call in around 7:30.
Wonderful. Okay. Well, welcome to everybody that's here, and we're going to get down and dirty with our topic tonight, Love You. So, Asia and I, the wonderful Deborah Ricks, and thank you, Deborah, for allowing us to be a part of the show again tonight. We host, and I guess we did a good job, Asia. She asked us back, and so
we did a great job. I'm not even going to be humble about that. We were great.
And so we're back again to do this. And when we began to throw around topics, I wasn't even thinking about Valentine's Day, to be honest with you, because I don't know. I think I might have been absent the day God passed out the whole lovey-dovey thing. I'd be hard-pressed to find a ballad that I like. I don't know why. It's not that I love love and I'm all about that, but I'm not exactly the head-over-heels, fall-in-love, surfy-sweet kind of girl. So I was like, well, what are we going to talk about? And so as we continued the conversation, we decided that it would be about love, but about all the different aspects of love and how loving yourself is the foundation for anything else that you do. And so I wanted to ask our guest, I wanted to start with the question, what does it mean to love yourself? And I also want to take a moment to invite callers. You can give us a call at 718-766-4468 and join in the conversation. So there we go. The question's on the table. What does it mean to love yourself?
I think self-love means a whole lot of different things. It means just really caring for yourself, just in terms of how you view yourself and your partnerships, and just really taking the time to dig deep and care for yourself.
Okay, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to add to that and say I think it's also about understanding your limits and your boundaries, you know, your own personal limits and boundaries and standards and, you know, your tipping points, and massaging yourself within those boundaries. Within those
be
limits,
quiet,
you know.
Sorry about
and,
that.
And knowing where you start or where you end and where the rest of the world begins, and then working from there, you know, because you can't really. I mean, I guess it's really about knowing yourself, you know, and the more and the better you know yourself and your boundaries, the better you can operate within those boundaries. And you know when they're being crossed.
Really interesting about boundaries. Absolutely. Anyone else? What do we use that word? I remember being in a dressing room once, getting ready to go on for a show, and I remember sitting back talking to someone about some situation they were in. And they said, oh, well, you know, I love myself, you know, and began to rattle on a list of things that she did to demonstrate that self-love. You know, like she got her hair did and nails done and all of that. And no doubt that taking care of oneself is, you know, especially on the external, does make you feel better and helps you present your best you and sort of is indicative of how you treat yourself, which is one way of self-love. And I was thinking, well, that's a great thing, but what about those of us that don't, you know, go to those extremes? Does that mean that we don't love ourselves? So I wanted to talk about the very deep way. So I know when somebody said to me once that loving yourself means that you don't do anything to yourself or don't allow anyone else to do anything to yourself, rather, that you wouldn't want done to you. So you don't allow anybody to mistreat you, basically, or you show up for yourself in ways that, or you don't allow anyone else to be in your life and show up in ways that you wouldn't want them to. And that was one way of self-love, which kind of goes back to what you were just saying about boundaries, setting boundaries.
Mm-hmm. The best definition I've ever heard for love is acceptance. And I think one of the reasons why it's so important to me, and I want to go back to what you said, Diletta, and this is Asia for anybody who's listening and not clear. You'll get the voices eventually. But what she said about, you know, maybe not being mushy or super romantic, and it's weird because I love, you know, I use the word a lot, but I think I use it in a different context than a lot of people do. So I see it as that definition of acceptance, like when people, well, let me start with myself. When I really know who I am, and we talked about this morning, Diletta, when you know who you are and you accept who you are and you actually like who you are, right, then what that allows is a space where you don't interact with people in a way that's jealous or in a way that's insecure. And so you can kind of love other people too, right? And I think that's one of the reasons that I was telling my sister, I love Valentine's Day, Christmas, and Halloween, because those are the three holidays where I feel like the rest of the world aligns more with who I am, right?
That's so interesting.
I love celebration. Like, you know, we should be, and this is like a Valentine's and every day. Like, we should celebrate every day. Every day is a gift. But if there are people, I celebrate love every day and get really excited about love and all the different kinds of love every day. But I love that people actually take a specific day and say, okay, this day is going to be about love. But I think that, you know, I find that people get kind of depressed if they're single or they're not in a relationship. They think that it has to be about romantic love. And romantic love is beautiful and amazing and not always romantic. You know, partnership is beautiful and amazing and not always romantic. But there's all kinds of love.
Mm-hmm.
And all of it, to me, starts with how did you put that this morning? Because I got notes. Like, knowing who I have notes. Knowing who you are and what you came here for.
Right.
You said once you know who you are, you know what you came to do, and you accept that.
Mm-hmm.
Bam, that's
okay.
Powerful.
Thank you.
Now you don't have to be like anybody else.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think it's tough sometimes to know your purpose all the time, you know, and that can be a liquid function. You know, that can change as you evolve. But it definitely, I think, is rooted in knowing yourself, because you can't begin to love yourself or anybody else if you don't know who you are. And you may not ever really know yourself fully, but at least I think in the quest and the intention of wanting to know yourself and master yourself, that automatically comes packaged with a certain love and awareness of yourself. And that will extend out, you know, through your actions and the people you attract and the people that you're with, the people who are close to you. So I'm definitely with you on the knowing yourself part.
Mm-hmm.
The purpose, I'm a little on the fence about. And the other piece, the acceptance part too, that's hard work, depending on what you how you're built. You know, I think people are built differently. You know, some people I think are more capable of accepting themselves than others. You know, how do you navigate that if you just are, you know, you have certain wiring, you have certain circuitry that makes it difficult for you to embrace yourself? And
well,
again,
that's why we wanted to see the show, right? Because, like, that is the question that I want people to explore, because it's so much easier to love people when they love themselves. But you're right, it's not easy. And even for myself, like, I can say there's been times when I felt like today is a day when I feel like, okay, I'm here, you know, I get it. But tomorrow I could forget it. It's a practice. You know what I mean?
Well, that's
go ahead.
that's one of those instances where, you know, I feel lucky and blessed to have a partner who can remind me.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And who can keep me on track, and even when I'm not feeling myself, then she can reflect, you know, she can reflect what my aspirations are and remind me who I am and who I was and who I can be.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, that's pretty powerful. Some, can you talk a little bit more about what you're saying? Something along the capacity of something about, I can't remember, and you just said it too, but something about knowing yourself and when you aren't there or when you don't have the capacity to accept yourself. How and Zynga, I'd love to hear your thoughts about this as well. Any thoughts about how we can work that into our being or conscious being about who we are and how that is the foundation for loving oneself and allowing us to show up as love and support for other people?
I think it's a consideration. Like, you know what I mean? Just making sure that that's a consideration.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's something that, because I feel like with us, that's something that's built into our relationships. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just taking time to think about it and really be considerate of the other person. I think we still say please and thank you to each other.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
There's certain things that are built into our relationship paradigm that just are natural. And one of those things is just helping each other, like, make sure that we stay inspired and stay moving and stay going and building, because it's not just one person. Like, you're building for your family.
Mm-hmm.
And then
right.
Probably one step under the consideration thing is just me keeping the toilet seat down. That's pretty much, if you can get that, like,
man,
you got half the battle.
Man, that's so great.
But,
don't even go there.
I'm not sure I totally understood the question though. When you say about the knowledge of yourself, and I want to make sure I understand the question.
Sure, no problem. I was a little sort of chasing around the mulberry bush with that. Anyway, I guess what I'm saying is, how is it that you? Or what would you recommend that people do or what can they do to help get to the point where they can accept who they are as a foundation for loving oneself?
Mm-hmm.
You made the comment about people not being wired or naturally wired to do that. So, but I believe that that's something that we can learn to do. So
yeah.
Weigh in on that, if you will.
Okay, and this is as an individual or as a unit in a couple?
I would
How
say first
both?
As an individual.
How about both?
Okay, great.
Okay.
That's exactly where I was going with it.
Okay. That's a tough one. I mean, it's kind of like I see the image of like a snake eating its tail when I'm trying to answer this question, because it's like, what do you do first? You know, how do you love yourself if you can't begin to love yourself? And you know, where do you start? I don't know, you know, and I think that's our individual charge, is to examine yourself enough so that you know what it is that you have to do.
Let's talk about tools, because one thing I saw in your bio, I could say for me, like, my first and foremost tool for someone to get to know themselves would probably be meditation. In your bio,
yeah.
I saw martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that's a tool that helps people to get? Because I feel like, you know, I've studied universal religions. So let me go back a second. I've studied universal religions because I want to know, like, what are people saying that's the same universally? And one thing I saw that was the same universally is get silent and get still.
Yeah. Yeah, that I agree. I mean, meditation was a huge tool for me that I was very much in touch with through a lot of my life. I'm not as in touch with it now, and I'm looking to find my way back. But maybe I take for granted how instrumental it was in me getting to know myself. that definitely is a universal thing. I think one thing that we don't get enough of as individuals is being taught to understand our bloodlines and our ancestry, and how much our parents and our grandparents and our aunts and uncles that we're related to by blood, how much they affect who we are and what we inherit from them, and learn to observe your your elders and see what it is that they are fighting and what their struggles are, and where they may have fell short in loving themselves, and keeping an eye out for what you may have inherited that may be inhibiting you from from complete acceptance of yourself. I think that's probably one place to start that we aren't really taught as youth at all in any culture that I've seen anyway. Right. Exactly.
You know, so that's what our culture is built on a little bit.
What you mean?
I mean, like that idea that, you know, you sins of the father are put on you.
It's funny that you
said that when you did, Rashman, because when you said maybe I take for granted the meditation and maybe that's what it was, and my first thought was, I think that for you, because I remember you being very self-assured to me, you know, and how other people see you is not always how you see yourself, but you appeared very self-assured in college. And for me, the most common link would definitely be, you know, how you were brought up. So, I know I quote your grandma all the time, Rashman. I quote your grandma all the time, and I never met the lady.
Yeah, right. That's real.
I was going to say that I love the fact that you brought in our ancestry, because you're absolutely right. And I remember growing up in the old folk, or the elders would always say, if you want to see how the person that you're dating is going to be, or what life is going to be like with them in the future, 10 to 15 years down the road, look at the relationship that man or that woman has with their husband or wife or other important person in that person's life. And that is so true.
Right.
And I'm reminded of someone that I dated once. And like I said, while I'm not especially overly, you know, touchy-feely in that sense, you know, I, as a woman, I do like a certain amount of affection. And the one thing I noticed was that this person was not very much that way. And the more we got to talking to each other, I come to find out that that's something that was not valued in their family. And they expressed love in different ways, but nobody came out and said anything, or nobody was especially expressive. You just kind of, you assume that, okay, I'm here, so that means something. And that really is something to think about, how people, the style, people's styles of love and how it's demonstrated. And it can be very, very different. So part of the question was, how do you do self-love being within the context of a couple? But more importantly, I want to jump to the next part and say, how is it that you two managed to be, because you were together to some degree, and obviously you're individuals, but you're part of a couple. So how do you manage to be able to support each other but still support yourselves in the context of a relationship? And the other thing is navigating your own backgrounds when you come, and all the stuff that we bring to the table as individuals when you're trying to create life together as a couple. How do you do that?
Wow, that's a lot of questions. So, like, when you come to the table, usually you have, like, what I call issue set, you know what I mean? Like, you have a set of issues, your partner has a set of issues. If you're lucky, you get congruent issue sets, you know what I mean, that kind of fit together, kind of complement each other. And I think that that is something, because you do have to accept your partner who they as who they are, like, you know, like going back to the self-acceptance piece, like you have to accept yourself because you have to accept your partner. You have, like, that's just something you have to do. If you want to be able to be happy, you know. So, yeah, I think that self-love comes with what your processes are. And I think that Roshan and I have been together for a long time, so we've evolved within the relationship, and so we kind of have had to learn what we have to do on our own to make sure that we're okay in our connection, because our connection is really important. It keeps both of us going. So, mm-hmm. And that changes, and we change as people, you know, so it's a really interesting thing. Like, for example, Roshan says that he doesn't sit still to meditate, but he writes every night. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a great way to get to know yourself. Like, just journaling, writing, or even processing the world through writing.
Right.
That's a great tool.
But see, and that's the thing, he literally walks in the world to write songs. And I know that about him because he's my husband, and I know that in the evening times he has to do that. You know what I mean? There's just certain things. And so, like, just in, I guess, coupling and being together, part of the self-love is about taking the time and letting your partner take the time that they need so they can love you the way you need to be loved. You know what I mean? So I think that, like I said, we've had to learn, and we've learned that in a relationship, you know. And I think in some ways we're really lucky to have done that, you know.
I have a question about something you said earlier, Nzinga. It kind of goes along with what you were just saying. But you talked about having a natural partnership, right? Which is always a beautiful, a natural partnership. You use the word natural, like how some things just kind of naturally flow, like there's a natural synergy that attracts you to someone.
Mm-hmm.
And I have found that with, you know, certain teams and at least one romantic interaction that I can remember where it was a very natural synergy. Synergistic, is that the right word? Synergetic? Synergy?
Synergistic.
A natural synergy. Synergistic, thank you. A natural synergistic partnership. But I wonder, I mean, and then you, I love the term issue sets.
Yeah.
Given the issue sets, when you're in a synergistic, Deletta, synergistic?
That works.
Synergistic partnership, how much is natural and how much is negotiated?
tricky one. Well, I mean, negotiations happen in nature all the time.
They happen in our house as well.
There's negotiations happening out wild right now.
Yes. Negotiations.
Negotiation is a big part of our relationship. Because we are very much about having a democratic household, and while there can be a leader in any given moment or any given, I guess, challenge or situation, we co-lead the household, you know, and so that involves a lot of, you know, compromising and negotiation, but also
communication,
but also over time, you know, we've been together so long and our relationship was not from the beginning. It wasn't like a very, like, just automatically everything flowed kind of thing. Our relationship has been very much about working at our communication,
yep.
And figuring out how we can build synergy, because we butt heads a lot, and we don't see eye to eye on a lot, and we're both very different people, and we're both very opinionated, and we're both very stubborn, and we're both very passionate people, so we butt heads a lot, and we had to learn how to, you know, all the different forms of negotiation, knowing when to hold them, knowing when to fold them, knowing when to stand your ground. But now we're at the point where we've been at this so long, like, you know, we're always, a lot of times we're a step ahead of each other, you know, and we're opening doors for each other before we even realize we need them open, and,
right.
you know, compromising things that we didn't even know we need compromised, and we're in each other's minds and, you know, saying things that are on the other one's mind, and, you know, so this energy is really, it is really natural right now. And the negotiation part of it is just...
That's natural as
yeah.
well at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, and then also with synergy, the thing about it is everything ebbs and flows, you know. Like, so,
yeah.
you know, where we might not have... We might have phases where we're not around each other as much, or we need more space. Or there are times when we just want to be all up in each other's face all the time, like, just, ah, you know, like... And it's, I mean, and that's the thing, we still have those times, and it's been like, it's been a long time, you know? Like, I feel very lucky that I can say that I'm really in love with my husband.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
That's
so
a beautiful sentiment.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you. It's true.
It's wonderful. Because a lot of people don't say that. They tolerate their spouses, but to say that, and you guys have been together for how long?
It'll be
18 years,
like next week.
Next Wednesday.
That is insane, is what
well,
that is. What the hell?
It is.
That's half your life.
Well, wishing
that
you
is
an early.
Half your life. Wow.
Wishing you an early happy anniversary.
Thank you. I mean, but that's together. We've been married for 8 years.
Same
almost
difference.
8 years. Okay.
Well, I'm always of the opinion that, you know, a walk down the aisle and a certificate is everyone else's acknowledgement of what's already been in the heart.
I mean, there's definitely, I mean, I hear people say that there is no change in shift.
Mm-hmm.
Once the jumping of the broom happened, but I definitely felt like a little halo was put over the relationship once we once we got the paper trail and the contract signed and all of that. I do feel like there's a little bit of a blessing that comes along with that.
Yeah, once we had Asia
yeah.
wrapping it. Asia wrapped the intro of our wedding.
Yeah, she was like the MC. Like, she got it hyped. She had everybody hyped.
No, for real.
That
totally was the wedding hype girl. Yes.
That does not surprise
me. Oh, it was beautiful. That was, like, one of the best times ever. So I want to rewind a little bit, you guys, because there are people that may be listening and saying, okay, yes, they're soulmates, and they've been together half their lives. So, but how does that relate to me? And how does that relate to our topic at hand? And one thing that I wanted to go back to was let's go all the way back to 18 years ago. Because I knew Nzinga well then. I didn't know you as well, Rashmon. But I know, well, I was going to answer the question for you, but I want to ask it. What was it, and we'll start with you, Rashmon, because I think I know the answer and I may be surprised. So what was it about Nzinga that made you so attracted to her early on?
Well, I mean, you know Nzinga. I mean, she's beautiful. So, that was the first thing. But there was, I mean, I don't know what I can say outside of, I just knew that that was my girl. I just knew it.
Uh-huh.
And there was a lot of guys waiting in line.
Uh-huh.
Which I which I was cool with.
And then what
but
made
I
you
guess,
feel
I guess,
like you were good maybe, enough then? Or did you feel like you, you know what I mean? Like, if you said there's a lot of people in line for something, what makes you feel the confidence to be able to, not something, I'm sorry, you're not a something, Nzinga, back up. If there are a lot of people that are attracted to someone or desire someone or would like to be with someone, what was it that gave you the confidence to think, like,
that I had a chance.
What did you say?
I didn't think that I had a chance. I felt like she was totally out of my league. I did feel that, but I was just like, yo, you know, it's cool. I'll wait, and we'll see how this turns out. But to be more specific, I mean, outside of her just being beautiful, she had a certain kind of poise and grace and elegance that I didn't realize that I was, I guess, looking for or attracted to.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, and to this day, it's something that I still enjoy being a part of.
Wow. And then Zinka, what about Rashma? What was it going back to 18 years ago that if everyone was trying to get in, as he said,
which is hilarious.
I had to talk her into it.
Which is hilarious because, you know, like, I was totally oblivious. I was totally oblivious to all of that. I mean, Asia knew me back then. Like, Asia was around. Like, she was around. That's hilarious.
Yeah, see, I don't buy that anymore. I know her too well. She's really good at this whole humble, I was oblivious thing.
No, I was, really.
No, I do kind of remember you being in high demand in Zinga, sorry. I do. And one,
she knows that.
I do. And one thing that I felt like was very attractive and that I would like to, you know, share with people. And Zinga was focused as hell. And very, very focused. And, oh, what was the other word I was going to use? I lost it. But she was, oh, passionate. You know, she was on her stuff. And that kind of goes back to what when we talk about, like, the purpose. She was very, like, and knowing who you are, she was very aligned with what she was there to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that kind of goes back when I talk about knowing what you're there to do. And you said, well, sometimes it changes or sometimes you don't know your purpose. But sometimes it changes, like, from day to day or hour to hour or year to year. But to be honest, I think most of the time we do know what we're supposed to be doing. Even
right.
if it's something as simple as, I know I'm supposed to be brushing my teeth right now, you know what I mean? Or
right.
I know that I'm supposed to, I mean, when I get really focused, I know when I'm supposed to take a walk, you know what
right.
I mean? I know when I'm supposed to attend an event, and when I'm not, you know, my spirit, what I call it spirit, well, something will say, you know, don't go there.
Right.
Or
right.
pick up the phone and call this person.
Right.
You know, and when I'm aligned with that, I find myself to be more attractive. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like you are on task. You are doing what you were there to do. That is sexy.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It definitely is. But going back to your question about what attracted me to Rashma. Rashma has his own way of thinking, and he has his own mind, and some of his thoughts are just hilarious.
Yes.
And so, like, it's just certain things about, like, the way in which he would, like, because I met him pretty much on the strip, hanging out, and at Zulu Nation, and it would just be the way that he would approach the question. And also he had, you know, he has these bomb-ass cheekbones, you know, so that too.
Bomb-ass.
They're great. And he's so, I mean, it's really, like, and he's really handsome, like, strikingly so. And then he also had his own style. Like, I was all the way in. And then he could think for himself, and all his answers were always different from the regular piece, like, and granola kind of answers. You know what I mean? Like, it was always about something about thinking, and he was always warm, and he always gave me a hug, which was really, really nice. So those are just the simple things, like 18-year-old and Zynga.
Yeah, these cheekbones have gotten me jobs.
The two qualities that I think of when I think of Rashmon, definitely the things that I admire most about you, it is the way you think. It's deep. You think deeply. But yet, what I love about Rashmon, he's deep as hell, but he doesn't try to be deep. You know what I mean? Like, does that make sense? When someone is, like, highly intelligent and humble and funny and doesn't take themselves too seriously. Yes. Bam.
Yeah, thank you. I just can't take myself too seriously. I'm just, because I'm too ridiculous. I mean, some of the shit I do, I'm just like, I shouldn't even be so lucky. Yeah, I'm such a lucky guy that people like me because I'm really stupid.
Funny.
Well, I would love to hear. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. It's cool. I'm just riffing. I'm listening.
So my question is, it's amazing and really wonderful that the two of you have been able to build such a wonderful relationship over time, and also the fact that you actually work together, which a lot of couples can never do. And I want to come back to that, but I want you to think back to the 18 years ago or maybe even before and think about maybe people now who are not in relationship with someone but wanting to be in a relationship with someone. What advice would you give them on not finding the person, but I love the idea that you have to be the thing that you want to get or you want to receive. So based in that context, what advice or what would you say to some people who are maybe looking to find the kind of love that you and Zynga have? What's the process? What kinds of things should people do?
How much time do we have?
Well, Mahogany's going to call in at about 7:30, and we're going to kind of switch to Love for Passion, but I still want you guys to stay on. That said, we have about 12 minutes that we can play with.
Okay. All right, cool.
You can get into it.
What kind of things to look for in the person, or what kind of things to keep the relationship going? Is that what I'm...
No, okay. No,
we're back to before keeping the relationship going. If someone is thinking, okay, how do I attract that kind of love? Who do I need to be? What do I need to do? What should I do? What should I, you know? Do you have any advice for someone how they become?
Right. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, that's quick. I don't really have any because we were
really?
Kids.
Yeah, we were kids
when we met, and we just got really lucky.
Really lucky.
Now, I can give at least 12 minutes of advice on how to keep things going, you know. Mm-hmm. But as far as attracting your mate, like, we was kids, man, and we both had good upbringings that gave us a lot of respect for ourselves and wouldn't allow us to attract people who didn't understand that.
Right.
And so, you know, to that degree, our upbringings help us attract each other. Because, like I said, we were essentially children.
That's great. You know? That's great. That's great. I think about saying that in order to have a perfect love, you have to be the perfect love. And while I don't believe that, I believe that we are perfectly imperfect. You know, I don't believe that perfection in the way that we always talk about perfection exists. I don't believe that exists. However, I will say that we are imperfectly perfect, and that means that, if we all had all the answers before we got here, there wouldn't be a reason for us to be here. That's what I think. So I think that it's all about putting all those pieces together. And so I was just curious as to what you had to say about that. And Zynga, do you have any thoughts about that? Because after I hear your thoughts about it, I want to share what some other famous people have said about that. So do you have anything to share with us about that?
I think patience in general is a virtue of everything. You know what I mean? Just patience. I think if I understood, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's real, because just to chime in and I'll cut her short real quick.
Sure.
But when I think about it, I think we were sent to each other to teach each other some lessons. Yeah. And patience was one of those lessons.
It's a big one.
And you know, like I said, we came to each other kind of prepackaged already by our parents and our families, and it was kind of on each other. I think we were both charged to kind of unpackage that packaging and repackage ourselves.
That's great.
And that took a lot of patience, you know, and understanding, and again, lots of luck, because I mean, we went through some stuff. We went through things that could have easily torn us apart. And, you know, we were lucky enough to have the patience and the strength and the support bases and friends to help see us through those times. And, you know, can't say enough about...
I'm glad you said that, too, because I had a friend say to me... I'm sorry, go ahead, finish your statement, and I'll get back to that.
I was done.
Well, I had a friend say to me, and I think this is really crucial, a friend who got married and then the marriage didn't work out, and he said to me, you know, relationships need the support of community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was, it wasn't something we talk about a lot, but it made an impact on me, like, yeah, I can totally see that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's super, super real and super important.
Well, I would say an addendum to that is appropriate community.
Yeah.
You can't let
people into your business. That's definitely, you know, one thing that we are
in agreement.
Yeah, we're stalwart about that. You know, you're not going to see a whole lot of us, like, you're not going to see a whole lot of PDA on Facebook. You're not going to see a whole lot of our business out there. You're not going to see us, you know, airing each other out.
Oh, hell no.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Or letting, you know, even our closest family members, like we've learned be very careful about when to engage that community that we have around us, because they're there for us. You know?
Mm-hmm.
We know, but, you know, we've learned the hard way maybe a couple of times that, you know, you have to be selective about when to engage that.
Gotcha.
That is so true. I'm a divorcee. Well, no, I won't say I am a divorcee, but I have been divorced, and I have been through some of the things that you are speaking about. And, that whole knowing when to share, knowing when to seek advice, and knowing who to get it from, that caused a big rift in my last marriage. And you know, I'm looking for support, and you know, 2 hours later, before I could even get back home, you know, half his side of the family knew what the beef was, and I was like, "Whoa, wait a minute! I wasn't ratting on him. I wasn't talking about him bad. I'm just looking for, you know, from another perspective. Am I looking at this, you know, from a positive angle? Am I missing something?" And oh my God, it turned into, you would have thought, World War III and a half, and it was like, "Well, no, that's not." Sorry. So, yeah, you have to be very protective of that. I get that.
Yes.
I want to take a step back before we go into the conversation with our next guest who will be joining us momentarily. But the topic of the show is Love You. And so we're getting a glimpse into what sort of, if you will, the recipe is for, at least for the two of you, Sum and Zynga, about being in relationship with each other and being yourself, and at the same time weaving your lives with another individual. I want to go back and look at individuals, and you, both of you, and Asia said a couple of things earlier about learning to love oneself. And you hit on one thing. Boundaries were some of the things that one of the things that was said. Knowing yourself is really great. Asia mentioned about making contact with your inner self and through meditation and other spiritual practices. Journaling is something that came up. These are all really, really wonderful ways, I think, that because I believe that you don't bring. People always talk about I'm looking for the half that completes me. I think that you are already complete. We're just complementing each other, helping each other grow into our best selves. That's how I sort of envision relationships. And it really does begin with knowing oneself. And so Deepak Chopra had a couple things to say about this. And some of them everybody's mentioned. So I thought it was just really interesting about, you know, making contact with your inner self, finding out who you are. Facing, and Zinga, you mentioned about what was issue set. So Chopra talks about facing your inner obstacles and resistance, and that's part of it. Facing your weaknesses and your flaws, dealing with old wounds, or what we'd like to call baggage. In fact, wasn't there a game show on a couple of years ago called Baggage? Where they would, any of you familiar with that? Where they would have these couples on, or they're getting ready to date, sort of like the old dating game. And then we have to figure out who had done what kind of baggage the person was bringing to the table. Did anybody ever see that?
I didn't see that.
Yeah, I think there's a couple.
No, it's not heavy, though.
Yeah, it was very interesting because as people began to be singled out and eliminated, some of the things that they were saying or confessing were just really, really deep. I thought that was really odd.
This was
but
a
anyway,
game show?
It was
this
a game
was a
show
game.
Called, yes, Google it, called Baggage. And it was a dating show. It was on the Game Show Network. I don't know if it's still on, but I know a couple of years ago it was. But anyway, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was saying, that sounds like a blast.
It was very interesting, I tell you. So anyway, but this comes up, dealing with old wounds. And because I think a lot of times when we're in relationship, we hurt each other based on what happened a long time ago, what somebody else did. And while I know that some behaviors can continue to be triggers for other people, you don't want to go live in your wounds. And so, which I think a lot of people do, they just get stuck. And so it was really interesting that, you know, the whole notion of baggage is part of it. And this is something else that says, oh, acceptance, we talked about that, which I thought was great. Accepting where you are. In other words, be patient, as you said, don't jump in too quickly. And forgiving your past. And, oh, my goodness, I think we hold on to other past hurts and incidences as badges of honor,
okay,
as opposed to being able to move through that. So what is that like? What is the process for forgiving oneself, if you can weigh in? And then I would love for the two of you to talk about how you manage to work through forgiving each other when you think that your feelings have been hurt or somebody might have said something or done something that you didn't quite get. How have you managed to do that? What do you recommend for others, and how do you do that yourself?
I can answer the second question. Mm-hmm. Pretty clearly. Not sure I totally understand the first question, but I guess you can circle back.
Right, how one forgives oneself in order to move forward.
I see. So, Paul, forgiving
I'm
yourself.
Sorry. Somebody just commented on Facebook and said Jerry Springer was the host of that game show.
Was it?
Jerry Springer.
I didn't even remember.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So forgiving yourself, well, that's one of the keys to life, I think.
Yeah.
And greatest lessons you could probably learn as a human being. And, you know, everybody's going to have their own trajectory with that. I think that probably one of the keys to it is learning how to forgive people and be gracious with people and lessen your judgment on people and their actions. And you find that the more forgiving you are of people and the less judgmental you are of them, the easier it becomes for you to, you know, treat yourself that same way and not look at yourself through such a critical lens. And that's just me personally. I know that's a big, like, karmic lesson for me, you know, because I put a lot of pressure on myself, and that's something, you know, that's one of my personal challenges, I guess, is not being so critical of myself and not putting so much pressure on myself and learning how to forgive myself. And so, you know, I think everybody comes to that in their own time, but I think probably the first and biggest step is learning how to be gracious of your fellow brothers and sisters and humans, and understand that they are in processes as well.
I love that. That reminds me so much of what's his name, Don Miguel Ruiz in The Four Agreements. One of the things is don't take anything personally, because it's not about you in most cases.
Amen. It's so hard for me. Like, I was just thinking about that today, how every post on Facebook I feel is directed to me. Like,
oh my goodness,
what is that supposed to mean?
Wow.
But, and I was thinking about that, those four agreements. Yeah, it's not easy. But I'm glad that you mentioned him, because he has another book that I highly recommend for anyone who is on a journey to be a better lover. It's called The Mastery of Love.
I have that. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Honey, that is a brilliant piece of work right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's tough. If I can make a quick PSA.
Sure.
It's tough with all the communication that we have going on right now, online, on social media, and elsewhere. Everybody's becoming a pundit on humanity, and everybody has opinions about everything. And it's good for dialogue purposes and for us to start moving conversations forward.
Uh-huh.
But the dark side of it is that people are becoming very sensitive, and people are scared to be themselves, because you'll get jumped on, or you know, the environment that our current, that social media is breeding, is just an environment of like just opinions and opinions and opinions and opinions and opinions and very little building or action. So you feel like you're always
subject
subject to people's opinions. And so, and in a way, it's allowing people to open up, but in another way, it's making people shield themselves and protect themselves and build a public persona, which is not necessarily the genuine article, you know. And so, we're all becoming extra critical. We're looking at things through this critical lens, because everybody wants to have to say something. And in order to say something important and critical, it exhibits your critical thinking skills and how aware you are and all of that shit. And it's making people sensitive. And
I'm gonna stop you for a second and say the part about people wanting to exhibit their critical thinking skills, those are nerd problems. Those are your friends.
That's hilarious.
Word. Okay.
I hear what you're saying.
Even the most ratchetest of ratchet, they want a shot at CNN. They're trying to get that CNN. Everybody wants it, and it has an adverse effect, and it's making us sensitive, and it's making us judgmental, and it's making it harder for us. It's making us harder to be forgiving individuals.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, how can you start to forgive yourself if you're constantly if you're constantly in a judgmental state? That's my point.
That is so incredibly powerful. You are absolutely right. I was just telling my students today, one of the things I do is that I teach college, and one of the things I was telling my students today, when we were doing this exercise, and one person said, well, my stuff is not as good as your stuff. And I was like, whoa, okay. First of all, we're not having that conversation. And I do the fingerprint speech, which is basically, okay, hold up your fingerprint. Well, okay, so nobody until you came on this planet had that fingerprint. And when you die, it will never exist again. So you can't be like anybody else. So stop comparing. Stop taking what other people say about you as the gospel, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So I had that conversation with them about that. But I love, there's somebody said, some writer back in the 40s coined this, I think. Please don't forgive me if I mess it up, but something about your opinion of me is none of my business. Mm-hmm. And I've always loved that phrase. And you're absolutely right. Someone you talked about the cynicism. And the thing is that people are able to hide. The internet lends a degree of anonymity, and people who are frustrated, people who don't love themselves, as you so eloquently put it.
Come on.
Find it, you know, it's almost open season, and it's like people get prizes for being, you know, self, you know, congratulatory if they say something that's witty, but also very mean spirited or cynical, and they have, you know, we hide behind made up names and handles and anonymity and say awful things, and I just think I hear exactly what you're saying, and it really, you do have to be very careful. People, you have to be very brave, and you have to be extremely self-aware and self-loved up, if you will, to deal with that kind of onslaught. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. You're so incredibly right with that.
And then to have the discernment, I think, mm-hmm. that comes from self-love, honestly, of, I love the way one author put it, when to speak up and when to shut up.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
When is my opinion necessary? Mm-hmm. And when can I fall back from this argument?
Right.
Yeah.
And the other thing I want to add, too, is that just because somebody has an opinion, you know, there are opinions and there are informed opinions. And there's a difference between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Yeah, that's definitely a plank in the platform of forgiveness within the relationship, and synergy is just, you know, knowing when it's time to just not be right. and not have an opinion, or when having an opinion, maybe your opinion is valid, but maybe it just doesn't matter right now. What matters right now is peace.
And I think that takes time. I mean, because, like, when you talk about, this is the second part of your question, when you talk about forgiveness with, the, like, forgiving the other person, a lot mm-hmm. of that, again, goes back to patience and time and learning the person and learning what your boundaries are, what you can and cannot deal with. You know, like, those are really essential to forgiving somebody else. So you know what you can and cannot forgive.
We were talking about that this morning, too.
I said, and sometimes, like, it takes time. It takes time to forgive yourself. It takes time to forgive other people.
That reminds me of the phrase that forgiveness is a process. Forgiveness is a process.
It's all a process, right? Forgiveness is, self-love is. I noticed it is 7:37. So, Deletta, did Mahogany call in yet?
I have not seen her call in, so I'm sure she's probably making her way. But I did want to take an opportunity.
She does have a show this weekend.
Okay, sure. I did want to take a moment, though, to remind everybody we've got about 22 minutes left on the show. So if anybody wants to call and chat with anybody on the show here, please give us a call, 718-766-4468. We would love to have your comments or ask questions of anyone here on the show. Once again, that's 718-766-4468.
And you can press 1 if you want to add a comment. If you don't press 1, we won't know that you want to call in. We'll think you're just listening. But if you press 1, that'll let the letter who's operating the board know that you have something you would like to add to the conversation.
Absolutely. And I want to finish up what we were talking about before we broke away. Self-love. Mm-hmm. So we talked about a couple of things. Forming relationships where you feel loved and appreciated, and that's very much what we've been talking about being able to be supported by your community and also, you know, being very careful about what you share, but just knowing that there is a community around you where they can support where you are in your process. And And the other thing, and we sort of hit on this, but the last thing that Chopra says in this article, which is called Seven Ways to Learn to Love Yourself Unconditionally.
I read that one.
Right. And the last one he says is practicing the kind of love you aspire to receive. And he said the only way to realistically find the one is to be the one, and reminding ourselves of a metaphysical truth that like attracts like. So the more you live your own ideal of love, the more your light will draw another to you. So sort of from a metaphysical perspective, but I think it's something that means a lot.
And from the single girl perspective, I can tell you for sure I have found that to be 10,000% true. As a matter of fact, can you just say it one more time because it was that good?
Like
the last 45 seconds.
The only way to realistically find the one is to be the one yourself. Like attracts like, and the more you live your own ideal of love, the more your light will draw another to you. That's something to ask when you look next to the person, and I'm speaking to the single folk who are still trying to figure it out. You know, when you look next to the person sitting next to you and go, now what did you come to teach me? Why are we here?
Right. And on behalf of our single women, I will add in too, you know, I talk about I haven't been blessed in the sense of Rashman and Nzinga and having soulmate love half my life, but I have had some soulmates and people that will tell you that we were soulmates and have had some interactions with people that were so amazing. And I think it was really in my 30s that I began to really the and you said this once, Samara, you said the caliber of man that I was attracting. Wasn't that you? They said the caliber of man I was attracting changed. And I found that to be very true, that the caliber of man that I began attracting in my 30s when I began to treat myself like a queen, the caliber was such that I had to, and I guess this is why I asked Rashman the question that I asked about being confident, you know, where I started to be like, am I that dope? You know what I mean? And I would have to, you know, I was in awe of some of the experiences that I've had in my 30s. I think that somewhere along the way, I developed some commitment issues, and that's fine, and I'm working through those now. But I definitely have been, I used to be kind of a bitter chick for a little while there, and I couldn't be bitter anymore after about, you know, 33, 34, because the caliber of man, you know, that I was attracting and the way that they were treating me was so different than what I experienced in my 20s. But I really think it was based on my own evolution and the way that I was treating myself. So I would definitely put that out. And I also wanted to say that I wanted to thank Rashman for giving me some great dating advice at one point. I got to visit Nzinga and Rashman a couple summers ago, right, guys? Are they here? No? Okay, yeah, a couple summers ago. And I was telling them, it was so funny, about a guy who I was trying to change my type for. And so he implied his interest. And I said, okay, I'm not really attracted to him, but the people that I've been attracted to, it's not really working out for me, so maybe I need to change my type. And I tried, and a couple of different things happened, but the last straw, one of them is mean, so I won't say it on the show because it's a small world. I'm kind of judgmental, but it did bother me. But I can say that one of the things was that he told me that he was going to do something, and he didn't do it. And I'm very, very judgmental about integrity. So I have a very high standard of when you tell me that you're going to do something, even if you don't do it, communicate to me that you're not going to do it. But if you just don't do it at all and you don't communicate at all, that's a huge turn off for me. And then the other one was I eventually said, you know what it is that makes him really unattractive? He's a writer that doesn't write.
Which is a perfect
segue. And anyway,
what
Rashmon's advice was just as simple as, your type is your type. It's okay.
Oh, I love that.
Oh yeah, I remember that. I was on the edge of my seat because I typically give terrible advice, and so I was,
right.
I was wondering where this is, what cliff I led you to jump
what
off.
What did I say? It was that simple. Sometimes it's that simple, and that, you know, for me, I was like, okay, it's, you know, right, like it's okay, because anytime I try to be, it's like I've told a friend of mine for years, the same thing. The moment that you try to change yourself into something that you're not to fit into, you know, to make it work, you're going to meet somebody who's like, oh, man, I would have really loved to be with her if only, you know. And it's like, no, wait, that is who I am. But you were trying to be something else. You're trying to twist and contort yourself into, no, nobody has time for that.
Yeah.
And well, I'm not going to twist and contort myself into somebody with lower standards.
Well, it goes back to the whole the fingerprint speech that I gave this morning to my students. Why try? I mean, the only person that each of us can be is ourselves. You know, the whole notion of trying to make a square peg fit into a round hole is just old. So that's a great segue into.
We have a Facebook question, by the way.
Oh, I do? Okay.
We have a Facebook question.
Okay, go for it.
This is from Rashmon and Nzinga's friend, Melissa, who is now my new friend. I sent her a request the moment that she commented and left us a link to Baggage. We're friends now. For the most part, your friends are my friends anyway. But she says, what about when your standards are in line, but the dating climate is whack, LOL, and potential candidates aren't motivated to step up to the plate because they don't have to, as in plenty of non-standard having options?
Yeah.
I have an answer for that. But does anyone else want to go first?
I think that's where you got to be extra bold, yo. Like, you just got to all the way in with it. Like,
that's real. Say it again. That's real.
Yeah, be bold. Like, especially in this kind of climate, like, if you see something and that's a bit, like, go for it all the way.
I don't know anything about this, so I'm just going to shut the fuck up.
Good idea, Rashmon. See, that's why I like you. You're so smart.
I've never been in this dating environment. I haven't been dating since the 90s, so I don't know. Nothing.
Let me tell you. It's not as hard for men, I think. Now, I've heard some men complain, and I'm like, you must just be in the wrong environment because I know crazy dope women. But, once again, once I got into the law of attraction, I did start to meet, like I said, a much higher caliber of man. I will say, Melissa, that I found that the competition was, like, fierce, as in, like, wildlife fierce. And I just found that I didn't want to fight that hard. My thing has always been, if you put me in a competition with another female, she will win. But particularly because I tend to fall back because I had my child already, and because since I wasn't pressed to have a baby, I wasn't as competitive as I might have been. she said exactly, men are reaping the benefit of this situation. However, to be really honest, I think what I'm going to do is leave the country and go somewhere where the odds are ever in my favor.
where might that be?
I'm going to Africa.
Africa.
Mm-hmm. All right. So just know that no matter where you go, there you are. All right?
Yes. But Deletta, as much as I believe in the law of attraction, and I do, And I believe that there are quality men because I know them and I have met them. She just wrote, Melissa said, like 80,000 single women in Atlanta. And I do know quality men, but I know more quality single women. And I do think that there is something to be said for the ratio of women who are successful and ambitious and intelligent and, you know, talented and all of those things versus the men in a similar situation. I'm not saying that it's not possible to find. It is absolutely possible to do whatever you want to do in this life. And but I would say that I would rather go somewhere where it's more probable, particularly because, and I want to go back to what Nzinga said because that was a fantastic point, where she said you got to be really bold. I am bold. If I want something, I go after it. I ask for it, right? But what I have found, because I am so self-loving, my sister posted something on my page once that said how bold one gets when one is sure of being loved. And it is very true. And what I have found is that because I am so loving, the men that I am attracted to, I am so loving towards them that they waking up and realize that they have all these options. You know what I mean? And they're suddenly like, oh, well, she's interested in me. I must be the bomb. And they look around, and next thing you know, they've got 99 other options. And, again, my thing is I'm not competing with my sisters. I'm a big, like, I believe in sisterhood kind of thing. So the only way it's really going to work for me is if someone chooses me and says, you know, I love that. At Rashman and Nzinga's wedding, he played the song I Choose You. Yeah, like that, it's got to be, there is no alternative. You know, I had a guy that I was dating, wonderful man, love him to death, still love him, definite soulmate, we're still homies, we're friends, but told me at one point, well, if you don't want to, then I'll just call my plan B. Like, I need there to be no plan B.
Well, you know, I think that there's, I believe that whatever is yours to have, no one can take away from you. And I don't, and I think that the universe will find you wherever you are. And that's sort of my take on it. And that doesn't mean that that's for everybody. That's just my little take on it, right? But having said that, I do hear what you're saying, and there is something about being in a place where there's you know, the garden is bigger. That obviously, you know, there's something to be said for that. I don't discount that for you. But I'm just saying to everyone else, again, I think it goes back to the self-love. When you know who you are and you know what's acceptable, you know what you want, you know what you will, I think that it will find its way to you. And I think that our co-hosts are a wonderful example of that. You know, it was just like, bang, there you were. You know, they lucky. I mean, it just did. So I think that, you know,
you're probably right, but something has always told me to go that.
Well, I mean, if you want to go to Africa, then just do that. You know what I mean? And just say, I'm going to Africa and find a man, and don't apologize for it. Just let that be your mantra, and bam, done. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to explain and talk about the ratio. Just bloody go do
well,
it.
But, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. I'm not.
And we got
even
7 minutes, so clean it up.
Right. I'm not even saying that I'm going to find a man. I just want to go somewhere where and experience the probability.
Okay.
I just want to experience the probability. There is a man in the United States who is a candidate, you know, so.
Ooh, candidate.
What? Yeah, he's a candidate.
Wait, what?
Like a game show.
Exactly. There's a man in the United States who's a candidate. Because we have that synergistic partnership thing happening. And yet, just to build my own confidence, I'm going to be honest, just to build my own confidence, I want to go somewhere for a little while, and I may come back and marry someone American. You know, I may come back and decide that, you know, but I kind of want to be open
to the
possibility.
So basically you're doing the opposite of coming to America.
Yes. In reverse, yes. all I'm going to say is
it's brilliant.
Yeah. Well, all I can say is I did that. Okay, I married somebody from another culture, and trust me, all right.
The grass is not greener.
Well, you know, lovely individual. Would never ever take anything away from him. It was wonderful, but we just kind of grew apart. But I will just say this, you know, I like playing in my own backyard because at least I know where the poison ivy is. Okay, so just saying. But anyway, we've got about 5 minutes there. We need to start wrapping up. So I know we were going to talk a little bit about loving and about our passions, and I think we're about out of time with that. But I just posted onto the page about 30 ways. And this is regardless whether you are in a relationship with another person, happily married like our wonderful guests, Nzinga and Rossman, or whether you are like I am, 55 and blissfully single and open to whatever possibilities await me. I will say this, that there's some wonderful tips on here, 30 ways to learn to love yourself and be happy with the world. And so I'm just going to run through a couple of them and get some final commentary from our guests. The first one is, again, this whole fingertip thing, this fingerprint thing keeps coming up. The first one on the list, and this is from Elite Daily, and it says, love yourself. Stop comparing yourself to others, okay? Find something in which you excel.
Come on.
Spend more time with your friends, girlfriends, or guy friends. Spend time alone. Some people are very afraid of hearing those voices. You know, when you're by yourself, and I say turn off the radio, turn off the television, just sit in silence, which is kind of like meditation. I think a lot of people are afraid to do that. Read a book. Spend time outside. Let go of the past. We talked about that tonight. Reunite with old friends who knew you when, you know, you were just getting to come into yourself, if you will. Spend time or call family and friends, resolving issues. We talked about the baggage thing.
Wait a minute, but I like the way they put this. Call your friends and family more often. Don't just follow them on social media. Can I get an amen?
Yeah.
Just follow them on social media. Yeah, agreed.
Treat yourself to something you want but don't need. Okay? Be active. Find a hobby. Travel. Laugh at yourself. My goodness. Awesome. And you mentioned that earlier, not taking yourself so seriously. Eat well, dance, freak dance, weird dance. Do favors and don't expect anything in return. Guard your heart, but be open. Oh, my goodness, we hit on all of these things tonight. Be less judgmental. That's another one. Huge. Look up at the sky. And the other one is you will never be able to please everyone. Not everyone will like you. You won't like everyone you meet. That's perfectly fine. So I have posted this, 30 ways to learn to love yourself, and we hit on a lot of them this evening, and I'm so thrilled about that. So closing moments, the closing comments, we've got about 2 minutes. Anybody?
I don't know. You guys covered a lot of bases, I guess. You know. Thanks for having us.
I want to thank you guys, and I want to tell anybody who may be listening that the bios that I read earlier are on the She Struts page, and again, they're both like super dope artists as well. We didn't really get into that, but you want to check out Rashman is a fantastic musician and writer as well as a branding strategist, which I just learned. And Nzinga is a fantastic writer and filmmaker. And I'll make a closing statement, which is that at my spiritual center, we sing a song that go like this. I love myself so much that I can love you so much that you can love you so much that you can start loving me.
Yeah.
And that's what I want for the world. It's really kind of selfish because I just want you to be able to love me as much as I do at the end of the day. And unless you love yourself,
you're not going to. So I will continue to preach it and teach it until we all get there. And, yeah, that's
well,
it. Thank you, guys.
Excellent.
I love you.
Right.
I think I do
okay.
have a final statement. If I got
oh, he does have
seconds.
A closing statement.
Well, we've got like 10 seconds. So
30
go.
Seconds, yeah.
No,
oh,
10.
Well, love your fellow men, yeah. And then you'll find love in yourself there as well.
Agreed.
Amen. Thanks to our guests. Thanks to Deborah Ricks. You've been listening to She Struts Radio. Good night.
Thank you, Deborah. Good night. Thanks, Mzinga. Thanks, Rashman. Bye, Deletta.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on She Struts Radio. We're vocal, visible, vulnerable women win. With author and speaker, Deborah M. Rick.